This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
While trouble across the Atlantic dominates the headlines, President Obama focuses on opportunity across the Pacific.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama flies to Hawaii today to host a summit of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC. It represents 21 economies all along the Pacific Rim. But Europe has already come up at the meeting. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says the trouble there will directly affect all of the APEC nations. Another big focus will be the idea of creating a 21-member free trade zone. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
To get 21 different economies to agree on free trade policy, you have to start somewhere. For the U.S., that's meant pushing for a smaller free trade pact first. It includes Peru, Chile, Singapore, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Brunei.
You can see the missing ones.
That's Vinny Agarwal, director of the APEC Study Center at UC Berkeley.
Korea is not part of it. Japan is not part of it. China is not part of it.
Mickey Cantor was Commerce Secretary in the Clinton administration. He says any viable trade zone has to include Japan.
Without Japan in this agreement, it's going to be difficult to expand to 10, 12, 15, 18, 21 countries. Very difficult.
The free trade zone is politically unpopular in Japan, and whatever leaders agree to this weekend in Hawaii still needs to be approved by lawmakers back home. Very difficult. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Now to a big decision that came from the White House yesterday on a big pipeline that would bring oil from Canada to refineries in Texas. The Obama administration says it's not ready to give TransCanada the go-ahead yet for the Keystone XL pipeline. Here's Carrie Ann Jones, who is with the State Department.
We don't have a route that would avoid what many feel is a unique resource in Nebraska. And we feel we need that to make the correct decision.
Jones is talking about a key aquifer in Nebraska that supplies water to 8 states. Some are pointing to politics as a reason for the delay, however. They say the White House doesn't want to upset environmentalists before next year's election. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across Europe and Asia this morning, up almost 1% in Hong Kong and about 0.1% higher in London right now. In Italy today, the Senate is expected to vote on a package of economic reforms that the European Union is demanding. And in Libya today, there's word of some economic progress. Egypt Air will resume flights to Tripoli next week. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 112 points, about 1%, to close at 11,893.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Constant Contact, in support of Small Business Saturday and small businesses every day of the week. Learn more at constantcontact.com/Saturday. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Well, today is Veterans Day, which means, among other things, the post office is closed. Its competitors, FedEx and UPS, are open. Now, you can't really blame the Postal Service. It's expected to announce next week that it lost $10 billion this year. Congress is trying to figure out what to do. We thought we'd ask Scott Davis for his thoughts. He's the CEO of UPS, and he joins us now from Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, I want to first ask you about the U.S. Postal Service, the financially troubled U.S. Postal Service. Should it be saved?
Well, I think certainly we have a need for the U.S. Postal Service in this country. They have plenty of challenges today, as we all know. But, you know, our relationship with the Postal Service is unusual. We're both a competitor, as you know, but we're also a customer and a vendor. In some areas where the population is not too dense, we will use them for that last mile delivery. And at the same time, we do fly some of their packages around the country. We're customers of each other as well as being competitors.
Well, what do you think can be done with them? I mean, is there a solution to this other than just getting rid of service all over the place, raising prices?
One of the challenges, frankly, that they have is the universal service and the cost to deliver letters in places like South Dakota and Alaska are far more than the 44-cent stamp. You know, some of those letters may cost you $50 to deliver in Alaska, and they get paid 44 cents.
How's business for you right now at UPS?
It's solid right now. I think the economy, while not growing fast in the United States, is growing. It has stabilized some. I think over the last 4 to 6 weeks, Jeremy, we've seen improving economic signs both in manufacturing and in retail sales. And as we head to our peak season, there's cautious optimism among our customers at this point in time.
Cautious optimism. I mean, we do look at companies like UPS and FedEx as bellwethers of the economy. But frankly, even as you guys have seen an uptick in shipping over the last couple of years, jobs really haven't been growing very rapidly in the U.S.
Well, no, that's been a problem. We're not growing the economy fast enough to reduce unemployment. I've been a pretty outspoken advocate on the need to grow exports out of this country. Today, only 1% of small and medium-sized enterprises export goods, and the fact is 95% of consumers are outside the U.S. So we have to do a better job growing exports if we're going to reduce unemployment.
What are people going to be shipping in 5 or 10 years? I mean, are letters even going to be shipped anymore, or is that all going to be electronic and it's just going to be stuff?
There'll still be some letters out there. I think if you asked this question, Jeremy, 10 years ago, we probably would have said, yeah, there's going to be a lot less, in 2011. The same thing goes as we look 5 and 10 years ahead from now. You're going to see much less in the way of letters and documents being shipped. These will be done more electronically. The beauty of our business, though, is we ship off a lot of packages. They're not digital.
Not yet, anyway.
So unless they come up with some new technology, we'll be shipping packages for the foreseeable future.
Scott Davis is the CEO of UPS. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Jeremy, it was great. Thank you.
To Sweden now, where the transit authorities are grappling with a new kind of freeloader, pigeons. Apparently a flock of clever and hungry pigeons are sneaking past the turnstiles, waiting for the subway train, boarding the train, and then getting off at the next stop, which just happens to be home to a mall with lots of food. I still have no idea why they go home, though. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You want to know why the European Union works such as it does? Think about France and Germany and World War II.
You have two countries that want to find some way to commit to each other that they're never going to go to war against each other again. What better way than to combine your coal and steel industries?
I'm Kai Rizdal. The European debt crisis, how the past determines the now. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
A confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.